Local Love is live every Tuesday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific and beyond into red light. You can find the podcast version of this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or at our website, echoplexmedia.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Plex interview. My name is Producer Dave. You can support this podcast at patreon.com/echoplex, and you can listen to all of our live shows at echoplexmedia.com/live. I'm here with an out-of-town artist, Los Angeles area. Artist name is Soul Rising. How you doing, man?
How are you, sir? Thanks for having us on the show today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Sorry about the snafu earlier. Thanks for being flexible with me.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to say a quick hello to a mutual friend of ours who referred you to me. That's Cynthia Hammer. She hosts a show out of Los Angeles. I don't remember the name of the show off the top of my head, but I can include. Oh, what is it called?
It's called the Hammer Away Show. It comes on every Wednesday at 2 o'clock on LA Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That's internet radio, like what we're doing, right?
Yes, sir. It is.
That's great. I haven't had a chance to listen live, but I have listened to it's recorded and then released. I have listened to the recordings.
Yeah, she's a wonderful person, man. Really dynamic woman.
Yeah, I've interviewed her twice. Once about her book, the Good Case, and then once because that interview went so well, and I was so interested in what she was talking about with how like home care, poverty, and race kind of mixed together.
Huh.
I had to talk to her about that because that was you know. And yeah, she's great. She's called in during our live show a couple times to say hi. And I just wanted to say hi to Cynthia. You've been a pretty good friend of this podcast network. She's a cool lady. I like her a lot.
And she's been a great friend of Soul Rising. We all want to thank her for what she's done for us as well.
And she's a fabulous writer. She sent me an autographed copy of her book. And usually on the train, I'm like listening to podcasts or working. But for a couple weeks, I just spent my time on the train on my way to and from work checking out her book. And it was really well written. And I don't read a lot of fiction, but I really enjoyed it.
That's great. She has a new one coming out, I think, today. I think her shipment of a second book just arrived today, as a matter of fact. I'm waiting to meet her and get an autographed copy in a little while.
Oh, that would be her third book. Her first book. Oh man, what was her first? Yeah. Her first book. I'm so bad at remembering all this stuff.
Second is Iceberg.
Oh yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's called Iceberg. Is the second one or the first one?
That's the first one.
That's the first one.
Okay. Yeah. I know what it's. I know what it's about. It's about a rescue, or a death of somebody died on. I think it's about a death of somebody who died on a lake.
Yes. Exactly.
A rescue would have been a much more uplifting story. I haven't read that one yet, but it's on my list. It's on my list. So you're an artist out of LA. Can you maybe tell our audience a little bit about your music? And
I sure will.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The music of Soul Rising is first of all, the group is three female vocalists, one lead, Kadia Handen, and two harmony vocalists, Nicolette Holman and Angela Michael. And they sing fabulous harmonies and they work very well together, sound great. And they're in front of a 4-piece unit, which is guitar, keyboard, bass, and drums. The drummer is Sandro Feliciano, who toured the world with Tina Marie, among other things. He's a professor of drums at Los Angeles Music Academy. The guitarist is Stig Matheson. He replaced Yngwie Malmsteen in Alcatraz. He's a great player. He's chairman of the Guitar Instruction Department at Musicians Institute, which is a very prestigious position. But he hasn't lost his groundedness. He's a fabulous person, a fabulous player. And then there's Sandy Chow Wang from Taiwan. There's a very in-demand keyboardist here in Los Angeles and myself on bass. And the music is commercial pop rock, and it's an interesting blend of quality and commerciality. You know, that's a difficult thing to pull off these days, so we have young outside writers that style the music so it's not so dated, because it tends to be very musical, which makes it dated by definition. So we try to keep the musicality and keep the commerciality and the relevance together at the same time, and it's hard, but we're trying to pull that off. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, I checked a little bit of it out on the YouTube links you sent me, and I liked it a lot. It reminded me of some of what's going on up here with that kind of soulful keyboard and a female singer sound. We have a couple bands up here that are like that, and they're some of our favorites.
And we're playing a lot, some great shows. I've been pushing this for a while with the instruments, about 5 years, and we just had really had a hard time finding qualified singers that last. You know, you get great singers, but they take off on their own, or, you know, they want to name the band after themselves, stuff like that. But these three that we have now are the best combination of talent and team work-oriented camaraderie of any of the people I've ever worked with, honestly. So we've been playing around town. We opened for Larry Dunn. He's a keyboardist for Earth, Wind & Fire, a lifetime Grammy-winning artist. And we opened for Malo and Tierra, who are a couple of longtime playing Latin bands from the days of when Santana first started. And those two shows were pivotal for us because they put us in front of some industry that took notice of us. The Malo and Tierra show was the first all-Hispanic show being put on by the Sean Healy Agency, which is a national booking agency. They focus on Southwest the United States, but they book all over the country, and the president, Sean Healy, happened to be there. I've been trying to get a hold of him for like 7 years. It's a long time. He liked the band, so he assigned us to his agent, David Pullaver, and they gave us some great new shows that we're doing, opening for Lala Hathaway, who won a Grammy, and we're doing that on February the 28th at the Avalon Theater, which is a beautiful facility. And then we're doing Wyclef Jean, which is going to be a really big show at the Regent Theater downtown on March 24th. And then the Larry Dunn show we did at the Rose, that's how we met Cynthia Hammer, for example. And then there's a great photographer named Donna Dimely, and those two people have hooked us up with a lot of new connections in terms of radio airplay and PR and just networking that has really facilitated my efforts. And they're spiritually minded people that aren't looking for profit or personal gain, and it's great. We're starting to attract a team of people around us that are spiritually kind of like we are.
Well, that's good. I mean, you got to pay the bills, but yeah, you don't want to. I've been involved in music. I've thrown raves and a lot of my friends are in bands and stuff. And I know what you're talking about. There's always someone in every scene who's just trying to get theirs. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason they're doing any of the shows. I know exactly what you're talking about right there. And sometimes those people even get a name because they're kind of pushy and they kind of get what they want, so they have access to things. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm glad that your experience is that you either haven't run into those types this time around, or maybe you know those types and know to avoid them. That's good.
It's the latter. Yeah, I've definitely been used and abused by many of them. I'm just starting to wise up a little bit. There's another agent that's worth mentioning. His name is Zach Garfinkel. He is the primary booker for the Sterling Entertainment Group. They own the Rose, which is in Pasadena, the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills, the Savan Theater on Wilshire and Los Angeles, all very high quality. They're actually theaters rather than clubs, small theaters. And he's helped us out. He booked a Larry Dunn show for us, for example, and he's been booking us for a while. And I owe a lot to his assistance as well.
Hey, it looks like I have a 240 number in the call queue. Is that possibly one of your singers?
Yeah, that's Kadia.
Cool. You know what? I'm going to bring her into the conference. We're just all going to have to slow down a little bit because it could get a little hectic with three people in here. So just kind of remember to slow down a little bit. I'm going to bring her right in.
Am I talking too fast?
Oh, no. I mean, when we bring the third person in, we have to remember to slow down a little bit. Otherwise, everybody will talk over each other. I'll bring her in right now. 240 number. This is Plex Dave. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Good. I have Michael on the line here, too.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Kadia. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You sure are.
you have a good voice. If you weren't a singer, I'd suggest radio, but it seems like you kind of already got your voice covered.
Yeah, I'm pretty locked in with this music thing.
It sounds like it from what Michael was telling me. He was just naming off a couple of the gigs you guys have coming up, and some of the names were pretty impressive. Isn't it great?
Big names.
Isn't it great?
It's amazing. It's so super cool. I'm really excited, especially opening for Layla Hathaway. That's like, she's a legend, and I'm nervous, but I'm just so happy to be able to share the stage with her and then Wyclef. It's really cool.
Yeah, you know, if I ever get down to the Los Angeles area, I hope it's when you guys have a show, because, you know, that sort of that the the you guys have a band, and the fact that there's a keyboard in it and the singers are female, that's like a one of the things that's actually working here in the San Jose area, is that is the female singer and a band with a keyboard that isn't like a straightforward rock and roll band. And that's kind of where that's kind of where things are here. And it's one of the things, like there's a band here called Sweet Hi-Ya, and they're kind of soulful. She plays the keys, and it's a four piece band with just a single singer, not an ensemble of singers like you guys, but that's one of the big bands, like in the, we'll call it one of the big bands in the underground here, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're hoping to become exactly like that down here. That's exactly what we're trying to pull off.
Yeah, they get some big gigs too. They were gonna open for Bootsy Collins at San Jose Music in the Park, but I guess Mr. Collins, you know, is getting a little bit older and his health wasn't where it should be. I forget who replaced him, but it was someone else that's got a name in the jazz scene, and they were super stoked.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
I have to check them out.
Oh yeah, they're called Sweet Hi-Ya. They're a San Jose band. You can find them anywhere. They're easy to find. And their music is really cool, kind of soulful, rock and roll, a little bit of rockabilly. Very cool.
Oh, nice.
Just a little bit of that rockabilly. What? It's not, you know, it's not. So
scary
taste.
So I was told about a couple of you guys' larger shows. Do you guys also play smaller shows, like for the people, like in little kind of divey bars, or is that not in your repertoire?
We did that for a while. Go ahead.
No.
Okay, we did that for a while to kind of get the band organized. We did shows at a place called Howl at the Moon. We played at small places, but you know, it's getting to the point that in order to keep the enthusiasm of the band going and to elevate the expectations and the output of the band, we try to put them in front of larger audiences so that we're in competition with higher levels of professionalism, and we can get that out of ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. The thing that's going on here, the reason I was stoked to talk to you guys and is because you guys are from a different music scene than we're from. I'll tell you a little bit about what we do here in the music scene. We have a podcast. It's live every Tuesday called Local Love. We go from like 9 till like 11 or whatever. And we take calls and play local tunes that bands have emailed to us.
It's great.
So one of the things that we talk about on the show is that our scene here in San Jose died. There's a couple places where there's a lot of people, but those aren't usually places where music is the focus.
Wow.
Like the kind of snooty hipster whiskey bars have some people at them. The kind of upscale, you know, them places where they stir the cocktail with a glass straw. You know what I'm talking about? Those places are cracking. But like if there's a band playing, I mean, unless it's like an out of town band with a big name, like the local shows, sometimes the venue will be empty.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And these aren't shit
That's
bands. These are like good bands, you know? And so I was excited.
That's not the case here.
Go ahead.
That's not the case here in LA. There's a very thriving music scene here. The live music's actually on the rise in Los Angeles with original music as well as top 40 stuff that's around.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I wanted to get with you guys. Like even for the bands that don't have a name, you guys see shows, like you guys have to go out in the scene and stuff, right? So when you go to a show that's like a local show, there's people there and stuff, yeah?
Yes, in general. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They have a couple like apps and different websites that for people who just genuinely love original music. I love to see live bands, especially in the underground circuit, because there's so much good music in the underground circuit that really I feel like comprises of the music industry right now, which is awesome. But they have a lot of places for at least millennials know about to go and sign up, and they'll send you like pretty much the roster of different artists who are performing, and they have like private locations and like these little secret locations. It's really, really cool. And I have such a broad group of friends who will just stay busy going to shows throughout the week, throughout the weekend. And a lot of these people are underground, no name, you know, not signed to labels, but they have these cult followings, or they are even developing a cult following. Like, it's the music scene in LA is really cool. And I think maybe it's because a lot of people are moved here to do music. And so there's this natural, like, ingrained support system.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, the San Francisco.
We should, like, actually consider that.
San Jose is about 40 miles south of San Francisco. San Francisco's mm-hmm. okay, but it's getting, everything there is getting, like, hyperinflated. So, like, the artists are kind of having a hard time staying there. So while things are fine in San Francisco now, I'm not hopeful for the next 5 years as far as art goes in San Francisco. Because well, studio apartment's like $3,500. Like,
wow.
Dang.
Do you guys see like higher cost of living in Los Angeles affecting the art community, or are things not moving as quickly there?
That's a difficult question. Personally, I sleep in the living room floor of a friend, so I don't have any rent to pay, so I can put all my income into the band. So I'm not affected by cost of living other than food, and I shop at bargain places and 99-cent stores to be economical so I can support the art that we're doing together.
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I'm not even really sure how to answer that. I specifically live in the arts district. I live in North Hollywood, which is surrounded by musicians, dancers, singers, actors. And we all have, like, this community in this area. When I say it's affordable, we do realize that we're all moving and living in LA. So I don't think it's affordable, but everyone's kind of making their own way, whether they have a several different side hustles, you know, Uber, whatever they need to do. I'm a full-time singer, so I have a couple little, you know, things that I need to do to continue to support myself. So I don't think it's affecting the art, though, because I think that everybody is out here with the same mindset, and everyone, the cool thing is a lot of people are friends of friends of friends. So we're all out in the scene, and we kind of just have similar goals and similar interests. So I haven't experienced that myself.
See what happened in San Francisco. What's happening in San Francisco is the art district used to be south of Market. Now, like, Twitter and Spotify and, you know, all these tech companies are starting to buy up south of Market. And
wow.
So the venues aren't going away, but the housing around there got really expensive because of all the tech that's going in. And
I see.
Yeah.
You know, LA is kind of more spread out, I think. San Francisco's, like, really crammed together, and LA is more sprawl. So I think maybe the neighborhoods in LA might be able to survive longer because everything isn't so packed together there.
Mm-hmm. I've also noticed I've noticed a trend where artists that are friends, like the way Kadia was describing, they tend to band together and live together and split the rent, share the rent, and then they get better housing with recording facilities and things inside of them. And there'll be like five or six different little companies in one house with a studio, or five or six people sharing a condominium, things like that, I've noticed.
That's definitely true. You definitely find two or three musicians or two or three actors grouping together and renting out a house, and everybody kind of doing their thing like that. So that definitely saves money. You know, I've had a roommate for a while, and that, it definitely takes a load off. You know, I'm a singer and she's an actress, and we're all in the same community. But yep, that's so true. That's a good point, Michael.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's also a couple artist collectives here that we know of. One of the gals, Guinevere, that calls the show and submits her music. I know that she lives in a situation where there's artists living together. I'm not I haven't stopped by or anything yet, so I don't know what it's like. But yeah, that kind of stuff, not in San Francisco, sometimes still in Oakland, and that's definitely not happening here in San Jose. Like, there's no the other thing is, I think the city of Los Angeles does things to support the arts, and I'm pretty sure where I live, the city would rather the spaces where people are doing art and music be a Michelin star restaurant.
Yeah, there are. I've heard of several musicians who kind of are more established. They have little, they have grant programs, scholarship programs for working musicians who may need some assistance here and there. You kind of really have to know who to talk to and do some real like deep research, but they are there. They do offer those things. I know I've heard about quite a few who they have a pocket of money to just help musicians out in California, you know, who credentialed musicians, of course. So that's very true as well.
Cool. So what are some of the other acts in LA that you guys, when you see, like when you see that an act, like a local act is playing, you guys, oh, we got to go. Like, what are some of the acts down there that you guys like?
That I like, you know, I have a few friends that I like to go see. I did go see an artist. Her name is Tedra Moses, and she was performing here locally, like a dive bar kind of situation. She like really packed the house up. And apparently, she's had quite a few albums since the one album that I purchased, but. I think she's amazing. Her music is great. Everybody was singing along. So Tedra Moses would probably be one that I support.
And I would point out a band called Robot Nature that I just came across recently. They're managed by some people that we're trying to get hold of ourselves to handle us. And they're really good. They have a lead singer named Deepak, who is an East Indian guy, who has a great voice and plays a violin with a loop echo device
track
on
loop.
It. Track loop is amazing.
Yeah, they're great too. They play some of the same venues we play. I've known them for a while. They're actually friends as well. It's cool because a lot of my friends when I first moved here are all working, performing out there in the industry. Like I'm like running back and running into them like 5-6 years later, and they're just like doing exactly what they said they were going to do. And I think that's really awesome. So yeah, that band that Michael just marked, they are really, really cool. My good friend is the drummer in that band, and they hustle. So that's a band that I would definitely check out as well.
Okay, cool. Well, it's kind of neat hearing you guys' perspective on your scene versus ours. It sounds a little night and day, but maybe if I lived in San Francisco still, I would feel a little bit differently because maybe the art community is a little stronger there. So where can people download you guys' music?
That's for Kadia's question.
Right now we're in the middle of recording our album, so we'll have stuff available soon. But right now you can just check us out on YouTube and Instagram. We have a few live shows uploaded on YouTube, and then you can follow our daily journey on Instagram. So it's Soul Rising Band. You can just type in Soul Rising Band in the search engine and on YouTube search engine, and some things will come up. You can follow me officially, Kadia, at Instagram, and I'm always posting about shows that we have coming up. I'm always posting little snippets of videos that we're doing, whether it's in rehearsal or a live show. So you can follow me officially, Kadia, or you can follow Soul Rising Band on Instagram as well. And just stay tuned to when we drop the album.
Yeah.
And there's a Soul Rising Facebook page, and you can also look at Michael McBay Soul Rising. It's on Michael McBay Facebook too.
That's good. Sounds like you guys are all prepared. Yeah, I checked out some of the stuff on YouTube. I really liked the music. It was super cool. But like I said, I like the style of music you guys do in the first place. You know, like that's a style that
Thank
I like.
Cause
that's what's going on here in a way. So,
yeah.
So it's very fun. Very fun.
Yeah.
Well, great. I'm going to embed some of the videos that I got a link to in the blog post for the interview.
Okay.
Let's see.
You want to say hey to Cynthia? She's right here.
Huh?
You want to say hey to Cynthia Hammer? She's right here.
Cynthia's there too?
Mm-hmm. She just showed up where I'm at.
Yeah, sure. Put her on.
Hold on. Hey, Cynthia. This is Dave. He's recording. So say hello.
Hi, Dave. Who's Dave?
Save your food. Oh. San Francisco Deep again.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. I know that voice. I'm great. We're just kind of wrapping things up here. I really enjoyed talking to these two. And we got to try out our conference call system. It works apparently, so that's good.
Very nice. We're up in the Hollywood Hills today. It's 80 degrees, so we're working, always working.
Yeah, it's not 80 degrees here today, but it's beautiful out here. It's like you couldn't order it up.
Awesome.
Couldn't order it up a better day today. What do you guys got on the agenda today?
I'm interviewing his songwriter, Adrian Jones, and I'll be interviewing Michael Video. We're going to do a video interview, and so because I'm doing some media, Hammer Media, so I'm branching out into that. So I'm taking baby steps, and I do actually good work. I take great videos. I take my time. You know, I'm not overly excited because we're used to being around celebrities. So it works out nice, and you get the privacy of their home, the intimacy, you know.
Yeah. And Michael was saying you just finished another project. Am I correct in understanding that there's another book?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, I'm on my third novel. I am actually finished, but I'm in the, you know, going through it, combing through it to make sure everything is the way I want it, that I didn't miss anything, and then I'll do my editing. So it'll probably be another year, because I like to take my time. Oh, he means my second novel, A Good Case. I have a third shipment that came in.
Oh, I got you.
And so that's what I let him know. I have a new shipment.
Gotcha. I appreciated that signed copy you sent me, and instead of working on the train, I read it. I enjoyed it. I don't read a lot of fiction, and it was a good book. I appreciate you sending me a signed copy like that. That was nice of you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, it is a good book. So thank you for that shout out. Thank you. It is. I'm proud of my work. You know. Thank you. I appreciate that. I take my time, and I write from my spirit. So it's God's work. Whatever He tells me to put down, I'm putting down. You know, and I don't bite my tongue.
Well, very nice. Very nice. If you wouldn't mind putting Michael back on so I can close this out and you guys can get to it.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm here.
All right, guys, I guess we're going to close this one out. Good job on dropping all the social media like that. I have a hard time doing it during my show. I like my tongue starts to tie up and stuff. Do you think the best place to find you guys is YouTube right now?
Yes, that's probably the best. Well, I don't know.
I would say YouTube and Instagram. Okay. YouTube, you can see a couple of our live shows, but Instagram, you can actually find out where we will be performing and when our new music is dropping and all the details in between.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And,
so Soul Rising Band, just type that in and everything will come up.
Great, and I can include that in the show notes for this as well. I'll have ask Michael to email me all the links. Thank you guys for coming on for this interview. It was really neat to talk to you guys. I'll keep an eye on you guys going forward. And if you guys ever come to the Bay to do a show, make sure you contact me because I'll go and I'll buy some drinks and shit.
Sure.
All right. This has been a Echoplex interview with the band Soul Rising out of LA. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.